My name is Pauline Hovey, and I'm the mother of one of the volunteers here at KNOM, Davis Hovey.
Tell me a little bit about your journey here, where you came from to get here, and what that travel experience was like.
Okay, well, I came all the way from El Paso, Texas, where it is about 70 degrees. Stopped in Seattle for a few days to visit a friend, where I started to adjust to the differences in temperature, but it was rainy and chilly and gray almost every day there. Then I landed in Anchorage for about a 7-hour layover. It was beautiful and sunny and a little bit colder than Seattle, but beautiful. So I stepped off the plane, got to see the mountains all around me, and went downtown, took a bus downtown, and enjoyed the afternoon. Went to a good seafood restaurant, had some fresh Alaskan halibut, and made my way back to the airport to come to Nome. So I arrived in Nome Tuesday evening. I've lost track of the days. Tuesday evening. And as we were flying over, it was just gorgeous, looking down on all the snow-covered mountains, and I mean, it looked cold but beautiful. It was just gorgeous. So flew into Nome. There was still sunlight out. I got to see the beauty all around here. It was very majestic. It was a great time to land.
Yes, and you came in on good weather, good temperatures so far, and lots of sunlight. What have you done so far in Nome?
Well, my first full day, I woke up. I thought it was kind of late because it was about 8:30, but the sun hadn't risen yet, and I saw that the light was just beginning to creep up over the horizon. So I got dressed and took a walk, went down to Front Street, took a left and headed east, and just took in the beauty of the light changing over the Bering Sea, and it was just inspiring. Very cold, of course. My face was not used to that kind of cold. I had everything covered except my forehead and my nose, and I started to feel my cheeks and forehead stinging. But it was worth it. It was a gorgeous walk, and I took some pictures, and just stood there for a while. Then I turned around and came back, and I stopped in at the visitor center to warm up, really, and to ask some questions about the area. And, well, after the visitor center that morning, I decided to walk into a little shop next door where they had local artisans displaying their work, and that was very interesting. I got to see different jewelry and scrimshaw, and which I know about from New England, so that was really interesting to see some beautiful work there. I got to see that, and then I went over to the Bering Tea and had some coffee, and got to meet some friendly people there. Seemed like everywhere I went, people were really friendly. And I came back and did some writing at the house for a while. And then in the evening, we did kind of, you and I went and did that tour, that little chasing the northern lights, chasing aurora, I call it. Drove around and tried to catch the lights dancing across the sky. And we did see this beautiful band of light over the dark figures of the mountains, and it just started to spread, and then it got brighter, and it was making different shapes for a while, and then it kind of faded, and we kept driving around and got to see it again. It was pretty special.
And you mentioned earlier that you did some writing here. Can you tell the people what you're writing and what you kind of do with writing in your life? What role does it play in your everyday?
Well, writing is part of who I am. What I was doing yesterday was posting on my blog, because I've started a blog on my journey from Virginia to El Paso. I've lived in Virginia for 30 years, and you know, in the midst of some major life changes, I started seeking what was next for me and questioning, you know, what was my purpose now. And I had made a 1-week trip to El Paso for a border awareness immersion kind of trip, and it really was life-changing for me. I learned a lot about the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico border communities, just the struggles and the real-life threatening situations that people have, not only in Mexico, but in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, there's just some real despair, some real life-threatening situations going on there. And anyway, as I got to meet people and understand those stories from a different perspective, I started writing about that and keeping a blog about my journey alongside that of the people that I was meeting. So I started that about 3 years ago now, at least 3 years ago. I don't post on it that much, but I do try to inform people about my, not only my spiritual journey, but the journey of those that I come across, that I interact with, and that I serve. So I eventually moved to El Paso because I was going back and forth to volunteer there and knew that my life wasn't in Virginia anymore. So I made the huge decision to leave my life in Virginia and the community and friends that I knew there and uproot myself and settle in El Paso. And I've been serving at a hospitality center for migrants and refugees, and that's really been a life-changing experience for me.
All right, and so since I've been asking you all the questions, I will now give you the opportunity to ask me one question here live on the radio for our audio blog listeners. Anything you want to ask me about my time here in Nome so far, my time yet to come, the region in general, anything like that?
Sure. What has affected you the most since you've been here? You've been here several months now. How do you see it's affected you and you know, from where you'll go from here, based on your experiences here, how has that influenced you?
So a two-part question there.
Yeah, it's a two-part question. I guess I can't ask one question.
The the common answer is darkness. To answer the first part of your question, what has affected me the most being here? The lack of daylight during the winter months. That's the common answer, and that was definitely my answer a few months ago. I would say now, though, my answer to that, what has impacted me the most is the people in this region, not only in Nome, but also outside of Nome and the communities and the villages I've been able to travel to through my work here with KNOM. I've met a lot of people who are very tough and resilient, and they have a good spirit, and they're very, very kind, and they have shared with me whatever they have, and I've been blessed so far to eat muktuk, whale, bowhead whale, raw and boiled, and then salmon, king crab from somebody's crab pot. I mean, just food. Most of the food that's prevalent in this region has been shared with me from somebody or another, and I have really appreciated that. Going forward, I would say the generosity and the people that I've met will probably also affect my outlook on life as I move forward. Whatever I do, it will probably inspire me to do something meaningful with my life and to also live more simply, as some of the people in this region do. And I enjoy the simple lifestyle that they have shown me that has great reward in the little things and is not so focused on material possessions. And my mom would like to add something to my answer. Go ahead.
Yes, because your answer sounds a lot like how I was affected by my experiences at the border, because I found the same thing. People that don't have that much, the people that seem to have the least, are the ones that are the most generous, at least in my experience. That's what I experienced at the border as well. And people who didn't have much shared everything they had. They had this tremendous faith and a real joy of life and the simple things in life, and really value family and relationships. So I experienced the same thing. I guess maybe that's something that even my short time here in Nome, that's I've noticed too, is that sense of community and friendliness of the people.
Thank you to my mom for joining me here in Nome and here in the studio today. And thank you to all our listeners who have tuned in for this week's KNOM audio blog.
We're KNOM, yours for Western Alaska.